Nick Ashew on the Fan. All about mock drafts now. I will say this. PJ Glasser, who joined us last hour, threw out a scenario, and I think this is where I would trade the number one overall pick if I'm the Wizards. Is if it's the Jazz desperately want A.J. Abanza enough where they're willing to give you multiple first-round picks down the road just to trade up one spot. Because then you get Darren Peterson. I would do that because there is the now and there's the future involved in there. And look, there is a lot of, I guess let's put, I think the best way we can put this. There's a lot of potential high-end Kobe Bryant comparison with Darren Peterson. And I'm not a big fan of the whole comparing guys to Kobe Bryant, comparing guys to Jordan, comparing guys to LeBron. Although you notice, we haven't found anybody that's come out of college yet where anybody compares to LeBron. We see the Jordan comparisons, we see the Kobe comparisons. There's no LeBron comparison yet. I'm just saying, if we want to have the argument, we don't see that going on. But what I will say is, Darren Peterson does have a little bit more of the upside. A.J. Abanza is, I don't want to call him the safer pick because this is a guy that could be a franchise-altering talent. Great two-way guy. I mean, just brings it all to the table, and I think could be a better shooter at the NBA level when he's not double-teamed as much as he was for half the time at BYU. But if you're the Wizards and you got multiple first-round picks to go down one spot and get Darren Peterson, I mean, I would do that trade. That I would do. Just keep Darren Peterson away from creatine. 5 grams, that's all you need. Don't overdo the supplements. It's a bad idea, all right? That's it, 5. That's all you need. But, I mean, look, there you have to be, get going from college to the NBA, there is always going to be an adjustment period. It's a question of whether or not that player, not just physically, but mentally, can also adjust to the grind, adjust to the pressure, adjust to all of those things that are a part of it. I will never forget, because it's rare, but we'll get those, you know, Kobe comparisons occasionally. Harrison Barnes and Andrew Wiggins both got the same comparisons. And neither one of them had what Kobe had upstairs, right? That Mamba mentality, that killer instinct. I worry a little bit that Darren Peterson may not have that either. So it's when we compare guys to players, I get it. There's the, it's based on their game. It's based on what they do on the court. But that's a lofty comparison because it's not just what Kobe brought on the court as a actual physical basketball player. It's the work ethic. It's the dedication. It's the competitiveness. It's all of those things. And two guys we can remember were compared to that did not have that same level of Mamba mentality. What else do we want to say? Like, that's really what it was, you know? Now, they've had great careers. Harrison Barnes, Andrew Wiggins have had great careers. But they both... Harrison Barnes, before he played a game in North Carolina, was a first-team preseason All-American. Also really stupid. Didn't play a game in college, and we're making first-team preseason All-American. First off, preseason All-Americans are stupid anyway. It's just dumb. It's based on last year or where a guy was in high school. That's dumb. But then we add more to that, and it's like, just wait. We haven't actually seen him play. Okay, well, sure, we're going to do this. That's fine. But... you got to be careful. You got to be careful with the Kobe comparisons because that's a very unique player. It was more than just what he did as a basketball player. It was how he approached the game. And, you know, look, the Wizards are probably good where either one of these spots are, right? Like, either one of those. I just got a tweet about Caleb Wilson. Caleb Wilson ain't going number one. And listen, he may have high upside, but here's how it is. The NBA works like this. There are eras where certain types of players, certain types of ways that you play, certain styles are what wins, and the rules help accentuate that, and everybody tries to build their team that way. In the 90s, it was all about the bigs, right? Guys playing in the post, Hakeem and Shaq and, you know, Patrick Ewing and David Robinson. And yeah, could some of those guys step out and shoot? Bigs weren't doing that. The 90s was the glory era for the bigs, which is funny because Jordan won 6 titles with Bill Wennington and Luke Longley. So it's a testament to what Jordan was able to do. But, you know, Jordan in today's game would certainly have been different, but now the game is much more evolved, right? And it went from Warriors' style of play, and then everybody tried to copy that. It's like, oh, maybe you should not copy it since you don't have Steph and you don't have Clay, and maybe this isn't going to work the same way. But everybody wanted to try it. They all just want to shoot threes all the time. But now if you look at how the NBA has gone, it is the rebirth of the big. It's just a very different looking big, right? It's Victor Wembanyama, who will never have anybody else like him again. He's just a physical freak in what he's able to do. It looked like he was supposed to be 6'5", and he's just stretched out to 7'5", or whatever the hell he is. And you're like, well, he's wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Not really a catchy nickname, but, you know, it would work if we wanted to call him. That's what I call him. The alien's cool, but wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Just saying, we're going to try to make it stick. I might be the only one, but we'll try. But, you know, you've got Nikola Jokic, who's got a dad bod, but he's running the floor like a point guard. And, you know, even Giannis, who's, you know, I mean, he's not a center, but he's a big. It's the same thing. I mean, we all know what Giannis can do. He can run the floor that way, too. And he's been in the league long enough to kind of help that evolution of a big in that sense. And, you know, you're seeing more and more of that to where, yeah, you got to have a quality big in today's NBA. But, and I think Caleb Wilson's got tremendous upside. I mean, a 6'10 rim runner that can get you 20 and 10, defend the rim at a decent, you know, decent clip. And you can't go with somebody like that when the draft has wings like DeBonta and Peterson. And DeBonta's the bigger guy, and you know, he could play more of the three. It's going to be a little more of like, Darren Peterson's probably more of a two there, but it's the same type of thing. You got to have the guys you can put the ball in their hands and say, go get us buckets. Put the ball in their hands 25 feet out and say, go get us buckets. That's how you win in the playoffs. You got to have wings that can defend too. That's why the Knicks went out and did what they did. Look, the Knicks went out and got Mikal Bridges and gave up 150 draft picks and OG Anunoby before that because they wanted to beat the Celtics. They wanted wings that could go out there and stop a Jason Tatum and a Jaylen Brown and the Celtics shooting 100 threes a game, which is now ironic. That's how the Knicks are winning. But, you know, that's the three. I don't want to call them 3-and-D big wings because they're more than that. But, I mean, that's essentially what it is, right? Guys that can defend the wing, that can go score, that can shoot. And I think the Bonza shot will get better as he gets in the NBA and doesn't have defenses zeroing in on him as much. Because there's a lot of guys that can shoot on the Wizards. Somebody can play defense. They need somebody who can defend, too. So, defend the perimeter, be nice. Defend the perimeter. So, you know, look, I find it difficult to believe that the Wizards will actually trade down. But that doesn't mean that it's not totally the case. That it's impossible, right? It is lying season. And the whole open to trade down means, yeah, they're open, but it's the right price. It's like, you know, it's like the 49ers talking about how they're open to a trade for Brandon Ayuk. Okay, sure, I'm glad you are, but is anybody open to make that trade with you, or are you just going to do it with yourself? Because, you know, there's a difference here. So, it's the same thing. The Wizards are open to that trade, but, like, is it a trade that they're actually going to do? And everybody has their price. I wouldn't trade the number one overall pick to, like, here's a scenario. Because I like PJ's idea, right, of down one spot, goes to the Jazz because they really want DeBonta, and then you get some future first-round picks. I could live with that. I could work with that trade. But if, like, the Bucks came calling and said, we'll give you the number 10 overall pick and Giannis for the number one pick, I'm not making that trade, and I know that sounds crazy. But I like the fact that they're building towards a longer-term future, and they're going with the younger guys. And I know you can get some a quality player at 10, but like Braden Burry's from Arizona, is that where you want to go? And Giannis, who has, one, Giannis would have to sign the extension, but let's even say he was willing to do that. How many more years do we think we really are getting out of Giannis? I mean, he's still in his prime. He still had a great season when he was healthy, but he was hurt a lot this year. And granted, I think some of it was, you know, it was probably not, I know he wanted to play at the end of the year and they didn't want him to play, and we know that whole battle there. You just got to be careful. Giannis does have a bit of an injury history there. So I don't think I'd make that trade. You just got to be careful with this whole idea of the star hunting. Star hunting really does not work. The best teams will be moving forward in the NBA, barring other crazy rule changes that make it so free agency works again or whatever. They get rid of the second apron. The way teams are going to win is the way that the Thunder and the Spurs and the, you know, the Wizards now are building their teams, where it's through youth, it's player development, it's the old school way, right? It's not, oh, I like that guy, let's trade for him. Oh, you guys want to be friends and now you want to play together? The NBA has gone away from that. It's much more about, you are going to see guys stay on teams longer now because, one, you get way more money staying with that team, but two, it's harder for teams to go out and Free agency is a lot more difficult now. I don't think it's going to stay this way, but we're at that point now where the NBA's made it very, very difficult. But I also don't think that the Wizards wouldn't at least consider, but it'd have to be a godfather offer. And they're in a great spot. You're in a great position. Again, Dan Quinn was talking about Jeremiah Love way before the draft. Whether they actually had an intention to draft him or not, we'll never know. But they made people think that they were interested, because had he fallen to them at 7 and you got Jarrett calling you, yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what, I know we're rivals, but I would really love to have Jeremiah Love in our backfield. See what I did there? It just fits perfectly. We'd like to give you some draft picks so we can, I mean, that, yeah. You want the phones to ring. You want to have teams saying, oh, you know, they think the Wizards might actually trade the one number one. All right, I mean, they're open, but they're not really interested, so we got to make it a big-time offer. Like, yeah, that's how this works. The Wizards are now in control, and it's a great spot to be in. There will be rumors, though, that are never actually true. And look, you got a couple veterans on this roster. You think that they're tied 100% to keeping Trae Young and Anthony Davis? Trae Young is going to be in an option year coming up, so it's going to really be a contract year. Then they've got to decide whether or not they want to sign him long-term or not. And if not, well, then you're going to want to move him. You don't want to lose him for nothing. So Trae Young is going to be in conversations. Anthony Davis, we know, doesn't want to be there. So if you're the Wizards, then do you move him when he's under contract longer? Hell, there might even be a situation where Trae Young gets moved before Anthony Davis because they're like, oh, we can't turn that down. He's younger, and this team wants to sign. I mean, who knows? There's endless amount of possibilities for this team. But that's the thing, is they are in the driver's seat for the first time in a really, really long time. You're not tied to bad contracts. You've got cap space. You've got the ability to maybe absorb some contracts for a first-round pick. And there's nothing wrong with it. Look, F them picks is fun for the Rams, but it doesn't really work. And put it this way. It works, but it's a big-time risk. And you're either going to completely mortgage your future and the bottom's going to fall out and you're going to spend years rebuilding, or you try to find that sweet spot. And that's really the key. It's not going in completely saying no to any vets and just only building with young guys on your roster, but it's finding a couple pieces that really, really fit there. I'm just saying, Trae Young is going to be in a contract here because he's got an option. He's going to pick it up. So what are the Wizards going to do? Are they going to keep him? Are they going to trade him? Because if you don't want to sign him long-term, you better move him. Don't lose him for nothing. Like, yeah, you'll have cap space, but again, we just talked about this. Free agency, you know, it's getting a lot harder to build with free agency. It's not impossible, but it's not as easy as it used to be, the way this whole thing is set up. So you're going to hear the Wizards involved in a lot of trade rumors, a lot. We also know this team's willing to make trades, and trades out of the blue because of Trae Young and Anthony Davis, and the rest of the NBA knows the same thing. But that's not a bad position to be in. Nick Ashew on The Fan. You know, you do look at the rest of the NBA draft, too, beyond this. I mean, we're obviously going to be focused on the Wizards, but we could have the first 10 to 12 picks all ending up being freshmen. I mean, this is just, I'm looking at mock drafts now, and we kind of knew this before, but I mean, first 10, maybe at the 11th pick to the Warriors, you're going to go with, like, LeBaron Filon from Alabama, and, you know, you get to the point where it's going to be all freshmen in this draft. This is a lot of really young kids, but it's a lot of talent. There's a reason why there was so much hype for this draft. There was so many teams that just made it so obvious. And I'm so glad the Pacers fell to number 5 and lost it to the Clippers. I mean, really, it's nothing other than the fact that they were in the finals last year. To see them get through that, oh, I'm so glad. So glad. Because, look, it happened to the Warriors, right? The Warriors actually had their first-round picks in those 2 years. They basically had two study abroad years. They just took a year off, and then it was like, well, we got to do one more year here because Steph was hurt and Clay was out for literally two seasons. But they whiffed on James Wiseman, and they whiffed on Jonathan Kuminga, even though he's shown he can play. Just it wasn't working with that organization. But the Warriors had, let's not forget they had Jordan Poole for a while there too. They had a lot of talent that could have helped them, or at least let's say a lot of opportunities that could have helped them continue on and not be in the kind of the dire position they're in now, where it's like, let's extend Steph Curry. Hopefully Jimmy Butler comes back healthy eventually next year, and we try to figure this thing out. It's tough. I mean, it's tough to take a team that's won for a long period of time, your roster starts to age, and not have that next just regular evolution, right? It kind of turns into more where you've got to get pieces in there that make sense, that are younger, and hope they fit. It's not easy. But the Pacers not getting that pick is just so great. I know it's brutal for them, but I don't care. I don't care, Pacers fans. Because, God, if they had added like A.J. DeBonsa, Darren Peterson, whoever, the rest of that roster, and then Tyrese Halliburton's back and healthy, just that, I mean, that might have been the best team in the East. It could have been. Celtics will be aggressive this offseason, though, so I think they're not going to want to be in that spot. We actually could see a lot of change. We could see a lot of change in the East because, if you look at the East, it still has this feel. I mean, if the Knicks go on and win a championship and they beat the Thunder, then people are going to go, well, the Knicks are the team to beat. But until then, you still have to kind of question, like, who is the team that worries you the most in the Eastern Conference heading into next year? And I think Boston's going to be aggressive this offseason. I think they could even maybe move Jaylen Brown. There's a chance there where they keep, you know, because this team wasn't supposed to be, like, this was supposed to be their gap year, right, for the Celtics. They kept winning. Pay attention to that, Pacers, right? Now you look at where Boston is. They lose in the first round, but you at least still have a team that's got, and they got a lot to work with there. What do the Nets do? The Nets have a bunch of young players, and nobody can do anything there. And the Nets had a 14%. Just remember this, all right? Count your blessings today. Because it was the Pacers, the Wizards, and the Nets all had the same odds for the number one overall pick. They were the three highest odds. That was that top three group, bottom three, depending on how you want to look at it. The only team to stay was the Wizards. The Pacers dropped three spots. The Nets dropped three spots. It's just beautiful to see, right? The basketball luck actually went the Wizards' way for a change. But, I mean, who knows what this lottery system's going to be next, right? They're talking 18 teams. They're talking, I'm okay with, like, restricting teams from having back-to-back number one overall picks because that was where the Mavs had a chance to be in that position. They actually fell a spot, so that's fine. But certain things I can be on board with, like if you made the conference finals next year, you can't have a top three pick. I don't know how that works. Like, do you shift a bunch of teams down? I don't know what they're going to do. Apparently, they're going to vote on this in the next few weeks, and we'll see what it looks like. And it's going to be super complicated, and it's going to frustrate everybody. And then what's going to happen is you're going to have at least one or two teams over the next couple of seasons that makes a massive jump again, and then all of a sudden this becomes, oh, we got to change the rules again. Oh, it's fixed. Oh, even though people do watch the actual drawing, conspiracy theorists are all going to be around. This is going to happen. Like, it's going to be a thing. But if you have the Warriors or the Heat or, you know, insert another team that suddenly gets rewarded with a top pick, is that really the system you want if you're the NBA? Like, they're spending so much time worried about teams tanking that they're going to start rewarding the good teams in a way that just feels so unfair and so outside the box and so overthought that it's just going to add more negative publicity to them. And we know the NBA, and we know Adam Silver. He knee-jerk reaction to everything that's negative about this league, right? Everything. It's like super teams. Oh, God, but we got to change it. Second apron, and you got to make sure that contracts are, you know, it's better for players to stay with their team. And you know, you got to deal with that. And then you're dealing with although I will say this, I will give them credit. I think they might have figured out the NBA or NBA All-Star game. That format seemed like it worked. That was worth fixing. I'll give them that. I'm okay with the play-in the play-in tournament's great. I love the play-in tournament, but I'm fine. I'm indifferent to the NBA Cup. I know it's fake. I know it's not real. You did something. They tried something. So, like, I don't blame certain fixes. It's just tanking has always been one of the big ones. And they're real sensitive to it. I don't know what this next thing is going to look like. Again, I know we all know what some